letting go of my pride, giving up all my rights. Take this life and let it shine. Take this life and let
sacrifice for you, Lord. We are just so grateful for Jesus and how he gave his life for us. Help us to give our lives to you, Lord. We are so grateful that we can come into this place and lift up your holy name. May you be honored and glorified in this time and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord of heaven, I do not deserve the grace that you have given for the promise of your word. Lord, I stand in wonder. Jesus, Lord of heaven. I do not deserve the grace that you have given. What a promise of your word. Your love is deeper than any ocean. Jesus, your love has no bounds. 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 Your love is deeper.
My anchor holds within the veil. Prayer requests, praises. One of the announcements I forgot to mention was pertaining to our wild game dinner. There's a sign-up sheet in the back if you're willing to bring in some sort of food. The food is listed back there, and or if you could help set up or tear down. There's places where you could help out in that way. I don't think Diane is here. She went home. In March 27th to April 11th is when she is going to be having her radiation treatments. So that is in ink right now. Pray that she remains healthy and be ready for the stem cell transplant, which has not been scheduled yet. But the 2 weeks needed to get done prior to that. But Lord willing, by the time she's in there for the 2 weeks, that schedule will be made up as well. How can we pray for you folks? Nancy. Okay, thank you very much. Roy. Phyllis. Phyllis is home. That is good. Who's that? Gradual family. Who passed away? Okay, the Gradual family. And then Jane. All right. So pray for Sid and Jan. Sam's here. You come here and then you go to the hospital. It's kind of like a revolving door. Arlene. Salvations. We all have somebody. Leona, why don't you share about the Haiti trip?
I can do it. I got the mic. So, Dave is going to be going down to Haiti, and I had the same question that you're probably all having. Like, how is that happening, right? Because it's not supposed to happen, but it's going at personal costs, and it's going at a lot of faith and courage. But Dave's going to be going down this week with Robin and Dr. Bob, and John Tryon would like to be able to go, but he's also been in Pittsburgh with Kim and Darren, because Kim's been in and out of the hospital with high blood pressure since giving birth. So John's kind of torn at the moment, so just pray that all those things can work out. And of course pray for Kim that she can that her blood pressure gets under control, and for the baby and all that. But we also have Julie Wheeler's going on her missions trip this week. I believe she leaves Thursday. I don't know if any of the Thursday. Thank you. Confirmation back there. So we want to keep Julie in prayer as she's down in Puerto Rico, and for the awesome work she's going to get to do. Looking forward to seeing what she brings back.
Nancy.
I got a little bit on my head. Same thing.
wisdom. All right. Let's sing the prayer chorus.
Before Leon starts playing, I was just perusing. In the hymnal, we only have the chorus. But on my paper here, I've got the verses. And the second verse really hit me. It says, "We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right." And we can get an amen on that, right? "What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share." And we sing this chorus, "People need the Lord," and we think, oh, that's great, they need the Lord. But the implication is we need to take the Lord to him. So don't just think of this as, yes, people need the Lord, but think of this as a call to introduce people to the Lord. So let's sing this. People need the Lord.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need.
Father, we realize that our life is certainly a whole lot better off because many of us have found you, the Creator God, the Maker of heaven and earth. And we're certainly well aware that people do need you. And you remind us that we need to be able to share that good news with our family members, our co-workers, our neighbors, those that you bring in our pathway. And Lord, we would certainly pray that you would prepare that so that we would be able to tell people about the eternal life that you have to offer them. We thank you that we are approaching Easter. We serve a risen God, one who is in the world. And you certainly know where we are at, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And Lord, as we pray for people, many times we forget various ones because we don't either have them on a list or they're out of sight. And Lord, we lift up those who are housebound, can't get out, nursing homes, those who are in hospitals because of illness or disease or something. And Lord, we have folks from our own church. And we lift them up to you this morning. We think of Pauline Hilliker, and Lord, her heart's desire is to be here every Sunday. And yet, because of weather and her own health, she's unable to make it. So we do pray that spring would come. We sprung ahead last night. And Lord, when weather breaks, we pray for Pauline to be able to make it here. And we lift up Mort to you. And Father, as he's there in the nursing home, we pray that your presence would be made very much aware to him. Along with Pat, Father, we lift up Pat Imhauser and her desire. She loves you. She serves you. She has a prayer closet, a prayer room that she lifts up people to you. And Lord, would you bless her life today? We thank you for Dan being able to be with us and the opportunity he has to share with her about the folks here at the church and Johanna Kinney and Larry. Lord, he was such a trooper handing out candy and welcoming people to us. And Lord, now he lays on the bed of affliction up there at St. Joe's. And thank you for Sid and the health that she does have. And Lord, as she is there in Elderwood, the mission field that you've given to her. Thank you she can be that light in an area that is so gloomy. And she lightens up the room when she goes into it, and Tom Manigan and Bonnie Spencer and Lloyd. I still remember Lloyd saying he so enjoys hearing the church bells ring. And Father, would you help him to be able to come one more time to be able to enjoy that sound that he desires. And as we've heard, Phyllis being able to go home and recover from this hip surgery. Sandy Walker as well. I thank you for Diane. Lord, I pray for a hedge to be put around her physically, that her health would be sustained as she goes through these radiation treatments, that it would do what the doctors want it to be done. And Lord, this lady in Germany who's going to be offering up her stem cells, and Lord, that's a painful thing. And I thank you for her desire to do so, and we pray for that scheduling to take place. And that when Diane has all that stuff done, we certainly pray for you. We don't exclude you from any of these folks who need healing, because we know that you are the ultimate healer. You can use medicines, you can use doctors and modern technologies and that kind of stuff, but our trust is in you. So Lord, we lift them up to you. We think of Dave going on this Haiti trip and John wanting to go, and we certainly pray for safety for Dave and the crew that is going. And we lift up John Tryon and Kimberly, Lord, with her high blood pressure, and whatever is causing it, that you would be able to bring healing to her body, and so that blood pressure would get to where it needs to be at, and she could be home and raising this little guy up to love you. And we pray for Darren, her husband, that is anxious, no doubt, because of his wife. And Lord, again, thank you for the comfort that you can bring people. We lift up Julie to you as she goes to Puerto Rico, and ask that you would go before her and behind her and under her and over her, and just in every way that her smile will light up those places where she puts her feet. And Lord, use her cheerfulness, her personality, to bring Jesus into the lives of people that she will see there. And we just commit our own life to you, and the life of our church to you, and the opportunities you give us to pray one for another. And we certainly pray for the salvation of souls, that you would touch people where they are at, to help them to see where their need is. And we pray for Heather's friend's family, dear God, that even in death, your presence would be made known, your compassion would be there, your peace would be there. And thank you, God, for the hope, again, that we have for life, life eternal in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, one more time we say thank you for this opportunity of worship, to where we can give to you our tithes and our offerings, partnering with you for the furtherance of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
It amazes me that she plays by ear. It's just, I'm here with this music. Let's stand and sing, "Come All Christians, Be Committed to the Service of the Lord."
Come All Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make our lives for Him more fitted. Tune your hearts with one accord. Come into His courts with gladness. Each His sacred vows renew.
Scott Webster come and bring us the message this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to thank you for allowing me to serve God in this capacity. As a guest speaker today, it's always a blessing to be able to do so. And I pray that He will use me in some way to bring you closer to Him. As I begin to think about sermon or what it is that I'm going to say, a lot of times I will begin with prayer and pray for a while and then sit and listen upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, until I feel that He's nudging me into an area where that's what I should be talking about. And today, God has nudged me in that area where I will be talking a little bit in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. But it's really about God's love in action and about what God's love is like, but what He wants us to do in return. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Before I begin, though, and as I was preparing, I'd like to say I was able to watch a short video. And this video was of a pastor who had accepted a new position as a lead pastor at a new church. Now, he had met with the elders. They had elected him, and he was going to have his first week of preaching in front of the congregation. And so he showed up to church that day, but he wanted to test his church out. And so he showed up as a homeless man. He came to church with old, dirty clothes. His coat was worn and torn. He had a grungy old hat on and even had a fake beard so that nobody would know him. And he sat out front with a cup, begging for money. And as it came time for church to begin, he moved inside and sat in the back pew. Now, a couple of the elders knew what he was going to do, and so they were aware of this, but nobody else did. So when it came time, they introduced their new pastor, and everybody was excited, and they all began clapping. And all of a sudden, this homeless man stood up in the back of the church and started to walk forward. And as he came closer and closer to the front of the church, the clapping died down until it was completely silent. And as he came up to the podium, he then took off his gloves and took off his torn coat. He took off his grungy old hat and his fake beard. And he set them all aside. And he stood before the microphone and he introduced himself as their new lead pastor. And he said, the purpose or the reason behind this is I wanted to see what kind of a church I was going to lead. I wanted to know what kind of people worship here. And it was interesting because he had a lot of praise for that church. There were several people who stopped and asked if he was okay while he was sitting out front with the cup begging for money. There were many who stopped and prayed with him. There are a few who stopped and offered him a hot coffee, and some who even offered him food. And there was even a couple who invited him in to do church. So as I was looking at that, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be really cool if I dressed up as a homeless man and sat out front to see how we would do? And then I thought, we have two services with Sunday school in between. There's no way I could pull it off. But I wonder how we would have done if, in fact, a homeless person were to sit out front of our church and ask. Would we stop and check on them? Would we be uncomfortable in stopping to talk to them or to pray with them? Would we be uncomfortable in giving them food or getting something to drink for them? As I think about these things, you know, I really wonder how we would have responded if, in fact, a homeless man were to do that. Would we have shown the kind of love that Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46? And would we have helped this man out? And so in order to better understand that and understand the words that Jesus speaks towards our brothers and sisters, I would ask that you open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will gather before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you. And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I want to be very clear with you. Verses 31 to 33 share with us that Jesus is speaking of his second coming. We are guaranteed that he is coming again. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know that Jesus is coming again for judgment day. You see, God will not allow the bloody cross to be the world's final memory of his son. The world that crucified him will see him return as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And on that day when he returns, he will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those that love him and obey him, that honor him. And the goats are those who deny him and deny serving him. As we read this passage, Jesus is very clear with us that he expects us to be active Christians, not passive. You see, in the act of loving, you need to be active. You need to be an active Christian in order to love. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He expects us to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And in verses 34 to 40, he mentions several ways in which we can love him. He says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was poor and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me. Please understand that this list is not all inclusive. It's a short list of what Jesus saw and what he mentioned then, but it is not an all-inclusive list. In fact, he could have added that we are to take care of widows. Could have added those who are shut-ins and cannot get out, or those that are sick or injured, those that are in the hospital, those who struggle with mental illness, or those that are disabled mentally or physically. You see, God is calling us to love one another as we love our brothers and sisters. He's calling us to active service. If you would allow me to subdivide this verse a little bit more and discuss the topic of love, I'd ask that you turn in your Bibles back a couple of pages to Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. So if you'll just turn your pages back a little bit to Matthew chapter 22. Now I'm going to start with verse 35. It says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. God's first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. When we say that God is love, is it not amazing to you that he boils the entire thing down to two laws? And it comes down to two things, but they're the same. It's all about love. God wants us to actively love Him and love others. I want you to think for a moment of the kind of unconditional love that God has for you. The kind of love that He has shown you. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, and He created all that is seen and unseen, everything that He did, do you realize that He planned for you in that? Do you realize that He planned for you to be right here, right now, in this time, in this church? And He planned so much for you that we also know that He created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and He knows the number of hairs on your head. He had a plan for you way back then when He created the entire universe. You see, God loved you so much that He sent His only Son to dwell among us and to be our sacrificial lamb for your sins and my sins. He loved you so much that your sins were forgiven and forgotten the minute you repented of your sins. You see, He loved you so much that you were found even before you knew you were lost. God loved you so much that you were saved by grace and grace alone. You cannot earn grace. It is a gift from God. He loved you so much that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He spread out His arms, He was nailed to the cross, and He died for you and for me. He died for each and every one of us. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us that God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you, there is no greater love. There is no greater love than that. And we cannot match the kind of love that God has for us. And yet, what does He ask in return? For us to love back. For us to love Him and to love our neighbors as ourself. It is that kind of love that I would like to speak about today, that is encouraging us to love our brothers and sisters. Allow me, though, before I move on, to slide in a disclaimer here, because I'm not saying that we can get to heaven with works. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, it says, "It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So let us examine what He asked for us to do for the least of our brothers. You see, every one of us has been faced with a time where we have met someone who is in need, whether it be someone who is in need of food, clothing, shelter. Many people have met someone at a gas station and needed gas in their vehicle. We've all met somebody, whether they be homeless or just in need, and yet we have, for some reason or another, failed to act on that. Many times we put that helping hand out, but as quickly as it goes out, it comes back in. For some reason, we have not acted on that. I ask, is it a fear? Do we have a fear of failure? Do you have a fear that you're not going to be able to meet their needs? Do you have a fear of peer pressure? Maybe it's at church or at work and you're afraid of the peer pressure. Is it a fear of stepping out of your comfort zone? Like you might not be comfortable talking with someone who's not as clean and well-dressed. Or is it a fear that you're not good enough? Is it a fear that you're not smart enough? Is it a fear that you don't speak well enough? Is it a fear that you don't have enough money? There are many reasons why we have chosen not to do that, why we choose not to step out of our comfort zone and help someone. Today, I encourage you to face that fear and overcome whatever it is, because God is telling us to love our neighbors as ourselves. If you remember the words that I read earlier from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. Do you not think that God has given you everything that you need, prepared you for everything that he is asking you to do? You see, God's already prepared this in advance for you. He will provide you everything you need. As I think about the comments I made earlier where people might have a fear that they are not enough, maybe I'm not smart enough, or I can't speak well enough, or I can't do this well enough, maybe I'm not strong enough, I'm not big enough. You know, I think that in our Bible there are many examples of ordinary people who do extraordinary things. And I'd like to share a couple of those stories with you if I could. If you recall back in the Bible, real early on in the Bible, there's a man named Noah, and he builds an ark. Now, the ark was 450 feet long. It was 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. The replica in Kentucky today is actually the largest timber frame building in the world. Now, I ask you, way back then, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, did Noah have a degree in architectural engineering? Somehow, somewhere, he figured out this design, and he built the largest timber frame building in the world. He didn't have cranes, and he didn't have modern equipment. He had himself and his three sons. But you know what? He didn't have everything, but God provided for him in many ways. As I think about other stories, I think about Moses. Moses was a man that questioned God. In fact, he said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring out the Israelites, or bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And you know what God said? "I will be with you." Later in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Moses even said, "I am slow of speech and tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." I think as well about David. And as we hear the stories about David, he was nothing but a shepherd. And if you think about it, he became one of the greatest warriors of the Old Testament. And he killed Goliath with nothing but a sling and a stone. Yet we learn in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, where Samuel anoints him. God said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance of his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." In other words, David wasn't some kind of athletic superstar. He would not have gotten a scholarship to play football. So if think about him facing Goliath. He's no superstar athlete. He goes out against Goliath with nothing but a sling and a stone. But God provided for him. And he provided for him in many other ways. I also think of Gideon, a story we read about Gideon. And we know that Gideon, at one point in time, was called upon to face 135,000 Midianite soldiers. We're talking about well-trained soldiers. And yet Gideon was asked to go out against them with 300 men. Now, those 300 men were farmers and shepherds. They weren't well-trained soldiers. And yet Gideon went out and did exactly as the Lord had asked him. You see, God didn't select Gideon because he was the smartest or the strongest. Instead, God chose the least in the eyes of the world so that God would be glorified. In all of these stories, God chose the least. And he chose them so that he would be glorified. You see, the Bible's full of ordinary people serving the Lord in extraordinary ways. And you ask, so what does it take to serve the Lord like this? It takes a heart that is fixed on the Lord. Notice that God never said you had to be a genius. He never said you had to be big and strong. He never said you had to be the quickest, the fastest, the strongest, the most intelligent. He never asked for any of those things. But he did ask that you have a heart for the Lord. That is the only qualification that you need. Is someone who loved the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their soul. And someone who was willing to trust in the Lord and provide what they needed to serve. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. Hence, if we remain in the Lord, we will bear much fruit. Now, if we can return to the beginning in Matthew chapter 25, please. I'd like to review the ending of what God is teaching us here, what Jesus is saying, and we'll begin in verse 41. So then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. And I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they will answer, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick and in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. You see, life is full of choices, and we make choices every minute of every day. You have a choice to love and serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. And when God returns, you will be counted among the sheep. If you choose to deny God and deny serving him, when he returns on judgment day, you will be counted as one of the goats. God wants you to love him, and he wants you to serve him. As we share a little of this, of the story with you, I want to share with you that we have these kinds of needs that we're talking about right here in our own church. You see, the words that Jesus spoke are real today. They're real right here in Shemong. They're real right here in our church. We have people in our church that are hungry. We have people in our church that are lonely. We have people in our church who are sick and in the hospital. And we have people in our church who are in need. We have brothers and sisters in our church who need transportation. We have brothers and sisters who need companionship. You may ask, what are the qualifications? The only qualifications are that you love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you are qualified to serve. In fact, think about this. If you have an ear and can hear, you're qualified to visit with someone and listen. If you have a mouth and can speak, you are qualified. If you can cook a meal, you are qualified. If you have a car and a few extra minutes and you can transport someone, you are qualified. And if you can't do any of those things, if you can pray, you're qualified to be a prayer warrior. There's a group of women in our church that have banded together under the title of WASH. It stands for WASH, which is With a Servant's Heart. And they are trying to organize volunteers within this church to help. And you'll see in your bulletin a pink piece of paper. And I'd ask everyone to pull that paper out, please, because while we are here, right now, I'm going to ask you to fill that out. We have a need in this church. And I'm going to ask you to fill that out with your name and number on it and what you are able to do or capable of doing or what God's leading you to do. At the end of the service, there's a basket in the back and there's a basket up front, and I'd ask that you drop that off. And I haven't shared this with my wife, but she's going to help me create a database for the church. So this week, we'll put together a database, and we'll share that with the ladies from WASH, as well as the pastors, as well as the board of directors. And then as we need or have needs within our church, we'll have somebody that we can call upon to do that. So as you're taking a minute and filling that out, and I ask you to do it right now, as you're filling that out, I just want to remind you of the words that Jesus spoke. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was poor, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you visited me. It is time right now that we become active Christians and serve the Lord right here, right now, in our church, in our community. Allow me to leave you with one last thought. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, James writes, "Do not merely listen to the word, do what it says." Let that be our motto today, is that we are going to do what it says. So again, I will ask you to fill these papers out, and we'll collect them at the end of the service today. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to share this message with you. And I just pray that you'll find the courage to step out of your comfort zone and to use that gift that God has given you to serve Him. Again, I thank you. May you go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Around our family, and certainly be a blessing to those we come into contact with. May we lighten up the room instead of bringing gloom into it. I thank you for my church family, dear God, and I ask your blessing upon their lives this week. Watch over, care for them, and one more time next Sunday. Help us to gather in the name of Jesus, lifting his name up. In his name we pray. Amen.